Pastor Robin, who's the pastor of the church, is not here this morning. He's resting and with his family. And so he found me through a Craigslist ad. said, if anyone needs preachers after Christmas, get paid by the hour. That's a joke. If you're new here, that's a joke. I'm the student pastor here at Promised Land. My name's Emilio, and I get to serve our high school, junior high, and college students. And I get to speak to you this morning, and I'm really excited to do so. My hope is that over the next few minutes, we could jump into God's word and share some hope that he has brought to us and share some good news and gain new revelation of who he is and what he wants to do in your life, and that we would take that journey together. Anybody excited about what God is able to do in your life? Yeah? Let me start by asking you some questions and just to get on the same page. Anyone have a great Christmas? Anyone have a good Christmas? Yeah. Anyone enjoy their holidays? Anyone looking forward to New Year's? Anyone excited? 2020, you want to hear a bad joke? Someone asked me what I was doing next week. I said, I don't know. I don't have 2020 vision. Yeah, you can steal that or tweet it or whatever you want to do. That one's for free. But the reality is that these seasons are an amazing time of reflection, an amazing time of family, and just fun and joy and games and laughter. But there's also a reality that says that this time for others is not so fun. And it's not full of excitement or laughter. But sometimes it's actually the complete opposite. And as we gear up for the new year and get ready to make our resolutions and get ready to do all these new things, there's others that are still facing real things. Though the calendar changes to a new year, sometimes the problems just don't stay in the past. And the things that we face don't stay in 2019. Oftentimes, most of the time, the things that we are dealing with and battling with and coming face to face with in 2019 follow us into 2020. And it's the reality. But today I want to bring good news. The good news of Jesus and what he's done for us. And I want us to look at three different passages, three different portraits from the Bible that by themselves seem unlikely, that there would be no common purpose between them. But I want to dive in and hopefully over the next few minutes you can find yourself in one of these passages. And through finding yourself in one of these passages, you could have your faith built and your faith restored. And your belief and trust in Jesus go higher. And that you could step into a new year not just hoping for something better, but having the faith that it will get better. Having faith, and even if it's good, it'll get better. And if it's bad, it'll get better. And regardless of where it is, you will advance forward because of God's involvement in that thing. If you would right now, just turn to the person sitting next to you and tell them, look again. Say it again. Come on, say, look again. Turn to the other person, your second option. If you have to cover your nose, we understand. And tell them, look again. Look again. Over the next few minutes, I want to talk to you and preach a message to you called Look Again. And we're going to jump right into our first portrait today. And it's found in Mark in the 8th chapter. And I'm kind of going to just walk you through it. The scripture will be up on the screen, but I'm going to kind of just give you context of what happened and let you know what's going on in this portion of scripture. So Jesus has had a normal day in the office. He's been doing signs, miracles, and wonders, and walking on water and, you know, all that other stuff he does. And he's about to close it up for the day. He's packing up his briefcase and putting on his coat. And as he does that, the Bible says that a blind man, a man with no vision, comes up to him. And he says, "Jesus, I need you to help me. I need you to help me because I have no vision. And I really want to see. So I need you to help me." So what Jesus does is a very normal, typical thing that people do to one another. He spits in the guy's eyes. Jesus, the one we were just singing to about Build My Life, yeah, that guy, spits in the guy's eyes, okay? This is how you know Emilio, me, could never be in the Bible, okay? Because you would read that scripture and say, Jesus spit in the guy's eyes, and Emilio said, "Hey, man, what in the world are you doing?" That's not what happened here, though. It says that Jesus spit in his eyes, and then he started to look, and the man noticed, "Hey, I can see. I can see." And Jesus says, "What do you see?" And he goes, "Well, I see people, but it's not very clear. They look kind of like trees." Then the Bible goes on to say that Jesus touches him again. And Jesus tells him, "Look again." And it says that when the man looked again, all of a sudden, his vision was perfectly clear. And it's an amazing story of the miracle of God. But what piques my curiosity is not the completion of the miracle. It's not the fact that Jesus touched him again and that he could see. What piques my curiosity reading this scripture as I was studying is that Jesus already had an encounter with him and he already had an encounter with Jesus, yet nothing was perfectly clear. And it gets me thinking, how many of us, or how many times have I had an encounter with Jesus, had a moment with God where maybe he touched me or spit on me or whatever it is that he did, yet things weren't perfectly clear. They got better, but they weren't clear. We go up to an altar or we cry or God speaks to us in a moment or he speaks to us in prayer or a song means a lot to us and it feels like our situation gets a little bit better, but it's not exactly clear. And how many of us choose to just stay in that place where things aren't very clear? At least they're not as bad as they used to be, but they're not exactly what God wants them to be. But because they're a little bit better, we choose to just live in the confusion. I can't see clearly, but it's good enough. There's things that we face in our life that you are facing right now that are unclear. Maybe your job situation is unclear. Where you get money from is unclear. The future of your child that is out doing whoever knows what and you're sitting there praying is unclear. You don't know what God made you for. Your value is unclear. When you look in the mirror, it's unclear. What you were created to do is unclear. Why you're even living is unclear. And so many of us oftentimes choose to live in that place where it's unclear. I think that there's people in here today who have suffered trauma as a child. And so now all the relationships that they form are unclear. Some of us maybe had parents that walked out on us. So now everywhere we look, security is unclear. Maybe some of us just had it really rough and now we're full of anger and it's so quick to get angry and we explode. And maybe we had a moment with God where it got a little bit better and I don't get angry as much, but it still comes out because what I was looking for is unclear. I don't know if anyone's in this place this morning, but I believe God told me to tell you today that if you go back to him, and you allow him to touch you again, and you give him a chance for another moment, another opportunity to love on you and pour into you and lay his hands on you, that you could turn around and look again and things can become clear. That you could turn around and look again, that you don't need to stop looking, that you need to actually look again at what God is wanting to do in your life. That the fog and the confusion is not the end of your story. That is not where he created you to live. He actually made you to have full of life and know exactly what you're supposed to do, to know who you are and whose you are. There's no situation in life that God wants you to leave unclear. If something is unclear in your life today, look again. Look again. Because when the blind man allowed Jesus to touch him and he looked again, it said everything was clear. He saw perfectly. But it takes that moment. It takes that moment of us turning back to Jesus and saying, I trust you, please. Touch me again. I trust you. Please be with me again. I'm not going to do this on my own. I'm not going to walk through this confused. I need you to touch me again. And I'm excited for a little while. In a little while, I'm going to pray with people. And we're going to pray that we would turn and allow God to touch us again. And as we go into 2020, we're going to look again. And that you would turn and look again to that situation. You would turn and look again to that child. You would turn and look again to that relationship. You would turn and look again to that marriage. And you would see things clearly how God wants you to see them. That you don't have to live confused and broken and hurt and alone. But God is there and he's with you and he's for you. And he's going to give you all clarity in the situations. But you have got to trust him with it. Somebody say, look again. Look again. The second portion of scripture, the second portrait is from the book of 2 Kings. And it's in chapter 6 and verse 15. And we'll put it up on the screens, but again, I'm just going to give you a little bit of context of what is going on. There's a prophet and his name is Elisha. And Elisha has been helping his land kind of win battles against other lands. Another land would come and want to attack them, and prophetically, because of God, Elisha would know, and he would say, don't send troops over there because they're going to attack us, and he would give insight, and all these other lands started getting mad, and one king in particular said, you know what? I want the head of Elisha. I want you to kill him. And he sends his entire army to the house of Elisha. And he says, bring me his head. So the army takes off and it says they have horses and chariots and they have soldiers and they have like the people from 300 were there, I think. I don't know if it says that in there, but I'm assuming there was a lot of people there. And they surrounded his whole house and it says Elisha had just woken up and he was going to drink his morning coffee. They didn't have Starbucks back then because no one could afford it, but that's besides the point. And he was about to wake his morning coffee, and he's doing his French press, or whatever land he's from, press. And it says his servant looks outside, and he sees the army of the enemy surrounding the entire house, completely surrounded. And all of a sudden, fear comes up in him, and he's shaking, and he doesn't know what to do, but he knows that they're there to kill Elisha. And he knows that they're there to kill him, because they're going to kill Elisha, they're going to kill him. And so he's so scared, he's trembling, he's shaking, he makes his way back to Elisha, and he says, Elisha, I got some bad news. You might want to sit down for this. He says, there's an army outside of our door, surrounding our entire house, ready to kill us. Ready to kill us. And Elisha takes a deep breath, and I think he kind of rolls his eyes a little bit. And he says a prayer, and he says, God, please take the blinders off my servant so he can see what's really there. And then he turns to his servant, and he says, servant, go and look again. Go and look again. It says the servant goes back out to the window and peeks through. And what he sees is the army still surrounding him. But surrounding the army is the army of God. It says he sees many chariots of fire, angels there on guard, surrounding the army that is surrounding him. I don't know what it is in your life or what it is that you're facing, but sometimes it's easy to get narrow vision. Sometimes it's easy to just see the things that are surrounding us, that are enclosing around us, things that make us fearful, things that seems that there's no way out. Maybe it's a tough situation with family members or a marriage or children. All the things that we have to face and endure in life. Some of us in here are single parents. Some of us in here have to balance two jobs and provide for people. We've been handed cards that feel unfair. And oftentimes when we look at our circumstances and when we look at our life, it is very easy to see the hardships. It's very easy to see the army of the enemy and think this is it. This is where life ends. This is just how it's going to be. This morning I want to tell you, you need to look again. Because what's surrounding you, heaven is surrounding it. And there's no weapon that will ever prosper against you. Because if God is for you, then who can be against you? You might have faced a lot of battles and you might have faced a lot of struggles, but it's time that you look again. Look again. God is there. He's never left you. He will not forsake you. It's a perspective thing. What is it that we are focusing on? Can we take a moment this morning to look again? Will our faith allow us to look inside of our lives and be honest with each other? God, I will look again. I will trust you. The third portion or portrait that I want to share with you this morning comes out of 1 Kings 18. If you're confused this morning, we want you to look again. If you're fearful this morning, we want you to look again. The third portrait that we're going to look at is found in 1 Kings and it's chapter 18, verse 42. And there's another prophet and his name is Elijah. We talked about Elisha, but this is Elijah. It's kind of confusing. I don't know why they did it that way. If you're dyslexic like me, it's really hard. But it's Elijah. And like Elisha, Elijah has been through some things. He's a prophet. He has a lot of knowledge. And he just got done with this big, for lack of a better term, we'll call it a contest, okay? He talks to other gods and other kings and he says, you have your gods and I have my gods. And he says, if you believe your gods are the real gods, then what we're going to do is we're both going to pray to our own gods. And the God who answers by fire, let him be the real God. So he goes into this quote unquote competition and God, the real living God, Elijah's God, answers by fire. And it's this victorious moment. See, but what we don't, you learn through reading context in scripture is that this land that Elijah's over has been in famine for a long time. They've been in a very dry place, a place that is suffering, a place that is in famine. They're hurting. Things that usually are very cheap are very expensive because of the lack that is there. And it says that Elijah, after winning, he goes up to this mountain and he sticks his head in between his knees. I can't really reenact that for you. Not that flexible. And he begins to talk to God. He begins to pray to God that God would end this drought, that God would bring the rain. And right before he does that, he tells his king, I sense an abundance of rain. And then he goes up to pray and he sends his servant. He goes, now go and check for rain. And his servant comes back, goes and checks. And as he comes back, he says, Elijah, I'm sorry to tell you this. And he's kind of fearful because Elijah was the real deal, all right? A little bit before this, he had just like slain like 900 false prophets. All right, this is not the guy you want to bring bad news to, okay? But he's like, Elijah, I got some bad news, man. No rain. Not even a cloud of rain. And it's an interesting place that Elijah's in that I think a lot of us can find ourselves in. What do you do when you sense something from God, but you see nothing? What happens when you sense something from God, but you see nothing? What happens when you hear scripture that says, I'll be victorious and prosperous, the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath, but you see nothing? What happens when you read scripture like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, but you see nothing? He sensed it, but he couldn't see it. And he looks to his servant and he says, hey, go and look again. So the servant runs out, excited because he knew he was a prophet, and nothing. So he runs all the way back, this time a little bit slower. Elijah, I'm sorry, but I don't see anything. And Elijah's still praying and still praying. He goes, no, go and look again, because he sensed it. And he runs all the way back for the third time. He looks out, looks a little bit longer, gets a telescope. He really needed to make sure. And he runs all the way back. Elisha, still nothing. Still nothing. But I sense it, but I know it, but I know things can get better. But I know that my marriage can come back together. But I know that we can make it out of what we're feeling. But I know that I will not be enslaved to these sins that have always had me. I know that I can break these generational curses. I know that I don't have to keep drinking. I know that I can beat pornography. I know that I can get better than what I am. I sense it, but I don't see it. He says, go look again. And I can imagine he's like, this is not what I get paid for. I did not sign up to be a hiking instructor, right? He's got me climbing all this stuff. He's anything like me. He was tired after the third one. He needed a water break. But he goes. He looks again for the fifth time. Nothing. Is there anyone in here today who has ever prayed for something, believed God for something, and just not seen or felt anything? What do you do? What do you do when you sense it, but you don't see it? What do you do when you feel it in the pit of your stomach, but nothing is manifesting in front of you? He keeps praying and praying and praying, and he sends them again. And you're saying, Emilio, we get it. We can just jump in. But this is some of us in our lives. Going and looking day after day, prayer after prayer, moment after moment. Will things ever get better? Will things ever change? I'm doing what people tell me to do. I go to church on Sunday and I pray every day. And when I wake up, I give thanks and I read my Bible when I can. And I'm trying to be the best person and I don't curse on the highway anymore. What is going on? Nothing seems to be changing. What do you do when you're stuck in a hard place? And it's happened 6 times. And still nothing. The God who just answered by fire won't even just give us a little bit of rain. And I know that Elisha was a strong prophet, and he might have had this mighty faith in God. So maybe we want to put ourselves in the place of the servant that's saying, hey, I don't know if this thing's ever going to happen. How many of us just start trying to figure out how to live in a drought instead of starting to pray for rain? How many of us hip flexors would have given out by then because of the posture and position he had to stay in for so long? Six times over a span of we don't know how long. Look again and the walk back. And look again and the walk back. This is a picture of faith. This is a picture of trust, of believing in God that he is more than enough for your life. If you are in a confusing place, look again. If you are in a fearful place, look again. And if you are weary and tired and exhausted, and you just want depression to go away, anxiety to go away, I just want my relationship and my marriage to be like it used to be, I just want my kids in church, or I just want to know that they are safe, look again. If you are tired, look again. Don't give up on God. Don't stop looking. Don't stop asking. Don't stop praying, because God is faithful. He's the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did it then, he will do it now. And there's no situation and no circumstance and no problem that you can face and no time constraint that you can look up against that God is not big enough for. He surrounds you. He's there for you, and he will provide for you. If you are stuck in a hard place today, I want you to look again and know that there's provision and know that there's a family and know that there's a God who is for you and not against you, and he will do all things. He will trample on the heads of your enemies, and he has done it before. God, nothing that we're facing is new to God. There's no situation that you are in that is new to him. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. Some of us act as if we pray to God and he's up scrambling in heaven figuring out how he's going to get it done. He's got to find someone else to have Jesus through and try this all over again. It's not how it works. That's not how it works. God is faithful. He's always been faithful, and he always will be faithful. The test of faith is not on God. So many of us think that faithfulness is contingent on God. Is God faithful? That's not the essence of faith. The essence of faith is, how many times are we willing to look again? How much are we willing to trust God? How much are we willing to wait on his timing and not our own? If you have given up on God this morning and somehow stumbled into this church, I am so thankful. And I want to tell you, look again. If you have fallen back into a sin that has kept you entangled for so long, that's okay. But today, you can look again. If you are fearful to go into 2020 because of the things that you have brought with you from the past of your life, that's okay. Look again. Because if you look upon the Lord, he is there for you, and he will provide. He will provide. But here's the reality, that there is times when it does seem like the blessings are invisible. And I wasn't very good at science in school, but I did learn this, that before any rain could come from the clouds, there was a few steps of that cycle that had to happen. They call it precipitation. All right, I'm going to take you back to like fifth grade science here. And if I make any mistakes on this, you don't have to come tell me after. No, I'm just kidding. Before there's ever any precipitation, there has to be what they call condensation. And then after the condensation, there's evaporation. What does that mean? That means that before water can fall from the sky, water has to go from the ground up to the clouds. And the clouds then fill up with water and release them as rain. But guess what? You don't see those steps of the process. Nobody sees evaporation or condensation. All you see is the precipitation. So why can you feel the abundance of rain and see no rain? Because your faith says that even when it's not raining, I know something is still happening. I know God is working on my behalf. I know that there's puzzle pieces that are falling into place and wheels that are turning. And I might not be able to see it now, but my faith is strong enough to say that it is happening. And I will look again until the rain happens. And I will look, and though it feels invisible, it feels so real. And my prayer this morning and my prayer into 2020 is that we would be a body and we would be people who believe that even though I can't see it, God is doing something and that he's faithful and that he will bring the rain and he will bring the provision and he will bring the clarity and he will trample on the heads of my enemies. So it's been six times and the servant comes back and says, Elijah, man, I think that's it, buddy. Let's just try this again tomorrow. And Elijah says, no, go back and look again. Look again. And the servant goes and I'm sure he's done and tired and he's probably been texting his wife all day like, you will not believe the type of day I've had. And he looks the seventh time. The Bible says he runs back to Elijah and he says, Elijah, I see something. He goes, what did you see? He goes, well, it's not nothing. He goes, well, that's some good news. He goes, I see a cloud and it's the size of a man's fist. Around the size of a man's fist. See, because sometimes when you're moving through your faith, it feels like stuff is invisible. But the next step in that journey is sometimes you will see something, but it feels insignificant. And Elijah had a choice. Do I act on the small cloud that feels so insignificant, the cloud is not enough to give us the rain that we need? It's the size of a man's fist. So am I not grateful and thankful for that? Do I keep praying for more? Or do I act on the insignificant? And the Bible says that Elijah jumps up and he's filled with the Spirit and he takes off running and he starts telling people, you better go because rain is coming. There's a flood coming. And I'm sure people are looking at him like, man, you are crazy. It's a cloud the size of a fist. Well, what are you thinking? He goes, no, you better move your chariots because it's about to get stuck in the mud. Move your army because they're about to get poured on. And they're saying, Elijah, it's just a tiny cloud. What are you talking about? And he goes, no, but my God has moved and he's shown me. And though it may look insignificant to you right now, his faithfulness has come through. And I know that if he's made it this far, he's going to continue to do it. And the Bible says that as all of this is happening, the skies get very dark and the wind begins to pick up and a huge storm blows through. And I can only imagine Elijah looking to the king and his servant and everybody as this rain is coming in. And with a small smirk on his face, he says, go look again. Go look again at what God has done. You wanted rain and he gave you a flood because he will give you exceedingly, abundantly more than you can ask, think, or imagine. It's not on us to figure out the solution for your life. It's not on you to figure out how everything's going to work and have the proper things in line and the proper plans and the proper place. It's not on you to figure out how you're going to remove this hurt from your heart or how you're going to get over the things that you had to endure or the trauma or because they left you or they hurt you or they abandoned you. You've been rejected your whole life. It's not on you to figure that out. It's on you to look again. Look again to God and allow him to do something new and fresh in your life. It's on you not to give up and not to be weary, but just go to God. Let him touch you. Let him surround you. Let him act on your behalf. Look again, church. Can we have the faith that says, I'll look again? In every situation and in every hardship and in every good thing and in every bad thing, I will look again. In school, for money, for family, for your husband, for your wife? Will you look again for your healing? I've been sick for so long. Some people are in here sick. Some people watching online sick, battling life-threatening things. Look again. Look again. I want to pray for some people. I just have a few minutes, but I want to pray for you this morning. And I really feel, as I was ironing my shirt this morning, that God told me that if we give him space, we can have a moment of impartation. Because I believe that you can go into your future and into 2020 with a different mindset and a different mentality, full of faith. Not because of anything that we can do, but because God is faithful. And you know what? If this message was just for me, then thank you, Jesus. But if there's anyone in here this morning, let's do this. Let's just all stand to our feet right now. And we're just going to kind of keep this moment. Can we just have everyone bow your heads and close your eyes? Let's just let this moment set. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, for who you are. Our prayer leaders and warriors, begin to pray right now. God, we're thankful that you're here. God, we're ready for an impartation. If there's anyone in here, every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anyone in here this morning and you say, I just need to look again. There's a situation in my life that I need to look again. I don't know if it's family or kids or hurt. If you just need to get over anxiety and depression, I just believe God is going to do something special in your life. I really do, in the bottom of my heart, believe it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, can you just put your hand in the air as families, and you know what it is, and keep it on your mind. Hold on to it in this moment, right now. Hold on to it. Prayer partners and our prayer team, begin to pray right now, wherever you are. Look at all the hands that have gone around. Come on, right now, everybody, even if you don't know what to say, let's just begin to talk to God however you know how. I believe that if you talk to him, if you turn to him and look again, he will touch you, and he will give you clarity from your confusion, and he'll give you peace from your fear, and he will answer the prayers that you've been waiting for. He's a faithful God, church. This is the posture of a church who moves mountains, people who wait and trust on the Lord. Come on, I believe that it can happen for you right now, and I'm going to pray, but we're all going to pray together that God is going to do something. God, we welcome you right now into this moment. Come on, church, let's lift our voices. Let's let them hear as if we shout praises in worship. Come on, church, let's lift. God, we believe that you can do more. We believe that you have not left us. We trust you, who you are, and what it is that you're going to do. We call ourselves sons and daughters because that's what you call us. God, we put our faith in you. I believe that there's going to be people who came with depression that will leave healed. They came with anxiety that will leave healed. I believe there's marriages that came in here on the fence that are going to get stronger. I believe that there's parents in here who have been struggling. They're going to leave with a new hope in you, a newfound freedom in what you're doing. God, people who have been bound by sin, I speak against alcoholism right now. I speak against pornography right now. I speak against domestic violence right now. It has no place in the life of this body and this congregation. God, I pray that if there's anyone in here who is lost and doesn't know who you are and they're a little confused right now, that you would give them peace in this moment, that you would impart your life and your love into them. There's a new way to go forward. There's a new way for your life. You don't have to be stuck in the things that you've been in. God will create a new path. He will make something fresh and new for you. He will engulf you in his love. He will surround you with his grace. I pray for a fresh impartation, that people people would leave empowered, knowing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loves them and is there for them, has never left them. You are not alone, even though your parents walked out on you because someone hurt you sexually when you were younger. It doesn't have to affect the rest of your life. There is more for you. There is more for you. God is going to do something so special. You're imparting the gifts of the Spirit. You're imparting the gifts of ministry right now. God, I believe you're raising people up on all different levels. In their own way, each and every person in here that can hear my voice this morning, there is a look again moment in your life, and I believe that you can have it. God, thank you that you have allowed us to have this moment this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. If you believe that, can you clap your hands for Jesus this morning? Come on, let him hear you, church. Do we believe in him? Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. If anyone in here just feels like you're still in that moment, or still imparting something, or receiving something, or you're emotional, or just something's coming out, or something's going in, we're going to have people up here to pray with you and for you. And so after service is over, if you want to make your way to the front, we're gonna ask our prayer partners and pastors to kind of just hang out up here just for a little while, because we want to honor that moment and honor what God's doing in your life. But today's a new day, church, and you're going to walk into your tomorrow and into your 2020 bolder, stronger, more full of faith, more ready to take on life, more optimistic, more sound, secure, and more ready than you've ever been. I believe it. I believe it. If today's message resonated with you at all, you know, for our regular attenders, but even our first-time guests, there's an envelope in the seat back in front of you. You can fill that out. We want to connect with you, pray with you, love on you, give what we can give, help how we can help, and you can fill that out and drop it out in those black stand-up signs out in the foyer on your way out. But you have to know, church, that you are sitting in a building that is here because we love you. Pastor Robin is with family right now, but he loves you, and I speak on him, on behalf of him and all the staff and volunteers, and we say, we are for you, and your best days are ahead of you. We can't wait to see you next week. We're having regular service times, so 8:30 folks that are here, you can come back at 8:30 next week. If someone took your seat, we're sorry. But we look forward to seeing you and jumping into a brand new sermon series next week. We love you so much. Like I said, if you want to get prayer or just have a moment with us, we'll be here up at the front. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. You're dismissed.